Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Proverbs 15:22. I am Rob West. You should always interview two or three prospective financial advisors before deciding on one. But do you always know what questions to ask? I'll talk about that first today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, as you know, we always recommend you look for a financial advisor with the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation, and you can do that by going to faithfi.com and clicking on Find a CKA. Now, when you do, you'll also find a long list of questions you can ask potential advisors. We're going to give you some of them today, though, because folks have been asking. Okay, the first thing you should understand is the type of advisor you're interviewing will determine what you ask. And that only makes sense because you'll need different information from a financial planner than from an investment professional or a tax attorney. So let's go over some of these questions by category. First, a Christian financial planner. They equip people to use God-given resources to accomplish their God-given goals. The Christian financial planner can help clients identify their God-given goals and quantify how much is necessary to accomplish them. So some of the questions you'll want to ask include, how do you integrate Christian values into your advice? How long have you been a financial planner and what licenses do you hold? And describe the financial planning process. Okay, next we have investment professionals, and this could be a fee-only investment advisor or investment consultant. This person provides professional expertise to managing investment assets held in retirement accounts, trusts, individual and joint accounts. A fee-only investment advisor is compensated by fees directly from the client. An investment consultant is compensated from commissions derived from the purchase or sale of a stock or mutual fund. Now, here are a few questions to ask. Again, how do you integrate Christian values into your advice? How do you determine whether or not a client should be investing? What is your investing experience and philosophy, and how do you select the most appropriate investment options? Where are your clients' investments held? A brokerage firm? A mutual fund? Which one? If a brokerage firm or mutual fund holds your clients' investments, does the brokerage firm or fund charge separate fees for this? What type of investments do you use? Load or no load? Stocks, bonds, annuities? How do you monitor and how often do you report investment performance? And how do you consider the impact of income taxes? What about other financial services beyond investments? And do you offer faith-aligned investing? Now, that's a lot of questions for an investing professional, but asking them should give you the information you need to make a wise decision. Now, what if you need a tax or estate planning attorney? What should you ask those candidates? Well, you can start with these questions. First, can you tell me about your practice and ways you integrate a biblical worldview into your advice? What are your areas of specialty? What about some examples of complex cases you've handled? Have you handled many cases in my area of need, whether that's estate planning, business succession, tax planning, or something else? Now, if you need someone to help with tax preparation, you would typically look for a certified public accountant, and these questions could be used for this candidate. Can you tell me about your practice and ways you integrate a biblical worldview? How long have you been a CPA? What other licenses do you hold? Have you helped clients in a similar situation? And what is your approach or perspective in interpreting tax laws and regulations and accounting and audit standards? Now, what about an insurance professional? Well, you may ask them about their biblical worldview, whether they're required to recommend specific insurance products, how many companies they recommend, and the ratings of those companies, whether they receive higher compensation for recommending proprietary products, and what percentage of their business comes from insurance commissions. And finally, a few additional questions you should ask all CKA professionals you interview. How long have you been in practice? How long will it take for you to do my work? Do you have clients with situations similar to mine who might be willing to speak with me about your services? And have you ever had any complaints filed against you with any organizations that regulate you? Again, we recommend you find a certified Kingdom advisor, and you can do that on our website at faithfi.com. By the way, the complete list of questions is there. When you click Find a CKA, you can download it at the top of the page. We hope that'll be helpful as you interview to find your next certified Kingdom advisor. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. In these summer days, you may have been spending some time at the beach. Maybe you were reading a good book, or you were even tempted to take a peek ahead. You don't want to get spoiled, but you're just dying to know what happens later on. In 1 John 3, the beloved disciple gives us a spoiler. He skips to the last chapter of the book and gives us an important detail on those who believe in Jesus. He writes, "What we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. One day we will look like our Savior, free from sin, free to love Christ completely." That's good news. You'll see Jesus more clearly through time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Going through puberty can be exciting and scary, and I wonder if your family's ready. Next time on Focus on the Family, we'll examine some godly ways parents can prepare their kids for issues like dating and body image, social media, and God's purpose for their lives. Encouragement for you next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time to take your calls and questions today. We want to help you apply a biblical worldview to your financial decisions and choices, but also help you make really practical decisions with whatever you're dealing with today, whether it's your lifestyle, your debt repayment, maybe it's your short or long-term savings or your giving strategy, whatever it might be. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. All right, let's dive in today. We're going to begin in Louisiana. Hi, Carlos. How can I help you?
Oh, good morning to you, sir. I have a problem with my Social Security. They discontinue paying me my Social Security because due to my, I made a little bit too much money. What can you help me? What can you guide me to? Should I get a lawyer involved in the situation?
No. What is your age?
My age is 67 and a half.
67 and a half?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a little confused as to why that would be. I mean, once you reach full retirement age, which you should be there now, you should be able to work and earn an unlimited amount, and that would you would not have your benefits reduced. So, you know, if you were born January 2nd, 1960 or later, then your full retirement age for retirement benefits is 67. And if you work, you know, from that point forward, you can earn as much as you want without any benefit reduction. If you're younger than full retirement age, you would have a dollar for every $2 of benefits reduced above $21,000. And then it goes down in the year where you actually turn full retirement age. But you should already be at your full retirement age, which means you shouldn't have a cap. And anything that's reduced prior to full retirement age eventually comes back to you in the form of a higher payment. So I think what I would do at this point would be to reach out to the Social Security Administration and SSA.gov and connect with them by phone or in person. Have you attempted to reach out and ask the question?
Yes, sir. I spoke to a representative on the Social Security's office that sent me a bunch of papers that I needed to fill out because I told them, can I make a payment of $100 a month and you can deduct it? And I filled that out, sent it to them, and I haven't received anything. The only thing they told me was they're going to suspend my payment until December.
And why did they say that was?
Because I made too much money.
Yeah,
over my limit. Went over my limit.
Yeah, but there is no limit if you're full retirement age. You know, essentially, if you're working and at your full retirement age or older, you may keep all of your benefits no matter how much you earn. So there's something else going on here. I'd probably schedule an in-person meeting where you can sit down with them and just understand exactly what's happening here, whether there was an overpayment to you and they're asking, you know, they're taking that back to make them whole or something else. But if you're full retirement age or older, there is no limit on how much money you can earn. That should have no impact on your benefits whatsoever. So I would get that in-person meeting, Carlos, and sit down with somebody so they can explain to you exactly what's happening.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
We're trying to make an appointment with them, see how far I can go.
I would do that. SSA.gov is a place to go, and there'll be instructions there on how you can make that appointment. Hey, let us know how that turns out. I'm so sorry you're dealing with this. I know it's probably pretty frustrating, Carlos, but I'm confident you'll get to the bottom of it. We appreciate you calling today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're going to be taking your questions during this hour of the broadcast today related to anything financial. You're struggling with that credit score. You just can't get it up. Maybe it's trying to pay off debt. Maybe you've got some credit card debt. You know, credit card debt now over $1 trillion, the highest level we've ever seen. Folks just feeling the squeeze because of high inflation. Costs are up across the board. That's putting more pressure on the average family living paycheck to paycheck, and that's resulting in high interest credit card debt, which, by the way, average interest rate now 20% plus. So given that, we want to get you out of debt as quickly as possible. I'd be happy to help you do that. Maybe it's your giving strategy or just navigating this stock market. Whatever it might be, we'd love to tackle it with you. Again, the number to call today, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. You can call right now, 800-525-7000. You know, we started today by talking about how you can interview an advisor and the questions you can ask. And I know we threw a lot of questions out there. We're just wanting to help you get thinking toward how I interview an advisor. We don't expect you to remember all of those. In fact, we've got a list of those questions for you. If you head to faithfi.com, our website, faithfi.com, right there at the top of the page, when you click Find a CKA, is a PDF with a list of questions that you can download that could be a helpful resource for you as you interview a prospective advisor in one of the disciplines. So whether it's a financial planner, a wealth manager, investment advisor, a CPA or accountant, an estate planning attorney, or an insurance professional. We want you to be able to connect with these folks and understand exactly how you'll be served, how they'll be compensated, just a host of issues, including faith integration, which is why we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. We really believe that the worldview and training of your advisor matters, and that we want you to receive, of course, competent financial counsel, but counsel that's given in light of a biblical worldview, so that you can understand the heart of God and really how we should view money in light of Scripture and put all of that in the context of financial decision-making. Well, that's what a Certified Kingdom Advisor can do for you, because they've met high standards in character and competence and ethics and experience, pastor and client references, regulatory reviews, and they've been trained and demonstrated proficiency in bringing that biblical worldview of financial decision-making. So we really think that's a key factor as you go out and interview advisors. And as it relates to your investments, the other opportunity there is to bring your faith into your deployment of capital as you actually align your values, if this is your conviction, with the investments you're selecting, whether that means screening out certain companies, screening in other companies, or maybe it looks like corporate engagement, where you're actually engaging with the companies that you own to let them know what your values are. And whether it's through proxy voting or letter writing or trying to ask for certain topics to be placed on the shareholder meeting agenda, whatever that might be, we want to give you the resources and equip you to be engaged as a shareholder. It's one of the most powerful and meaningful opportunities to affect change in so many of these companies that seem like they've gotten away from their core business and increasingly are focused on engaging in political activities that's really just a distraction. And frankly, they have no business operating in those areas. Well, as a shareholder, you have the ability to let them know that if that conflicts with your values as a believer. Well, that's called shareholder engagement, and it's a key part of faith-based investing. So we want you to find an advisor, if you don't already have one, that really aligns with your values and priorities as a Christian. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Joan, a first-time caller, is in Virginia, and she wants to talk a bit about Social Security. We've got some other calls coming in as well, but we've got room for you. What is on your mind today financially? Give us a call. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jessica Peck, host of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, the home of happy parents and healthy teens on AFR.net. I serve as your expert guide to engage, equip, encourage, and empower you to navigate life's toughest issues with your teens. We explore health impacts and home strategies to create a safe space in an unsafe world. The Dr. Nurse Mama Show on AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
For Joy Lucius, Romans 12 has been her favorite chapter in the Bible since she was a little girl. Have you ever stopped to really think about what reasonable service means? In The Stand, Joy takes us back to creation and through Calvary to remind us just how God has planned everything. From the time He breathed life into Adam until now, we're part of that plan, and you'll be encouraged to give God everything. Read It's Only Reasonable when you visit afa.net/thestand.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Abraham Hamilton III, host of The Hamilton Corner.
American Family Association is on the front lines in the culture war in America. We've been here for more than 40 years, fighting for the biblical principles our nation was founded upon. And by God's grace, we are making a difference.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Well, I'm delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices, recognizing God owns it all. We're stewards, so money is now a tool to accomplish God's purposes. Money is, keep in mind, morally neutral. It's a blessing. It was created by God to be used for good works, to enjoy, to provide for our families, to be able to create memories, to be able to support the needs of others, and to give generously. It's when we make the object of our affection money and the things that money can buy, when we align our hearts toward the pursuit of wealth only for wealth's sake. Well, that's when we can get awry. But when we see it as a blessing and we use it in the way it was intended, well, it can accomplish all kinds of good. And as to scripture, it can be enjoyed. And that's the way we want to encourage you today as you think about the practical decisions and choices you're making each day. Let's head back to the phones. We've got two lines open, 800-525-7000. Joan is a first-time caller in Virginia. Go right ahead.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you? I gave the person that answered the phone an initial comment. Did you hear anything of that?
I just see some notes on my screen, but share with me what's going on.
Okay, so I'm 56 years old, and I had to file bankruptcy about 3 years ago due to medical reasons. My credit score is back up, and since then, I've been able to save about $70,000. I'm still working. However, I have a disease to where I probably won't be able to work, but yet another 5 years.
Okay.
And I would like to retire with more than just Social Security.
Sure.
My current employer, I am contributing 5% to a 401k. They are contributing 4%. So there's not much in that 401k.
Yeah.
So my question is, what should I do with this $70,000? I have it in a Discover online savings account where it's yielding 4.21% interest. But yeah, I just feel like I should be doing something more with that.
Yeah.
I don't want to take too high of a risk with the money. I'd like to be retire with $5,000 to $7,000 a month of income until I die.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of struggling with that.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Do you know what you're going to receive from Social Security? Do you have a sense of that?
Probably something around $2,000 a month.
Okay. And you need a total of five. So you're looking to, you know, be able to earn about $3,000 a month from your investments?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So the challenge is that, you know, we would typically look at, and I'm not going to say this to scare you, but just to kind of help you understand where we would typically approach this is, you know, normally you would build your investment assets for retirement such that you could pull 4% a year and live on the income and never deplete the principal so that it would last throughout the rest of your life. So if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, you may need this to last into your 90s. Well, the challenge is, you know, in order to pull, you know, 4% a year and get up to what you're looking at around, you know, $36,000 a year, we're talking about $875,000 in the bank. At 4% would throw off $35,000 a year. So obviously, you can only do what you can do. I realize you had some medical challenges. They continue. You're basically starting over, and you've got this limited runway, and you're saying, how can I save as much as possible so that I have something to supplement Social Security? Because the other reality is, if you're only able to work for another 5 years or so, and let's say you were to stretch it to six, and you take Social Security at 62, you're going to take about a 30% reduction from what your benefits would be at full retirement age. So you've just got to factor that in, and that's going to be a permanent reduction. Now, you'd get increases by cost of living, but that reduction of around 30% would be locked in, once you begin taking benefits. So it's obviously in your best interest to continue to work as long as you can, as long as you're able to. And I realize that, is going to be driven by your health. But the more you can, wait, the longer you can wait to get closer to full retirement age, that's going to get that checkup as high as possible, and it's going to take the pressure off what you need to save in order to generate that other income. The challenge is, depending on how we can get that, it'd be great if we could take 4% a year. If we can't, and we're taking 5, 6, maybe 10, maybe more than 10% a year, you've got to do what you've got to do, but just recognize that you're going to deplete that, because there's no way with a conservative investment strategy that you're going to be able to keep up with that kind of withdrawal rate. Even if you were to get up to, $200,000 a year, we would be looking at you having to take, 15% or more per year, in order to get the kind of money that you need in order to be able to sustain this. We'd be looking at about 20% a year. So that might last only, 6 or 7 years at that point, even if it was invested. So I think the key for you right now is to figure out, how do I get my lifestyle as lean as possible, get my expenses down, pay off all the debt I can, and then by God's grace, we just pray that He would give you strength and heal your body, and you'd be able to work as long as you possibly can, for two reasons: to save as much as you can, and then secondly, to keep that Social Security benefit climbing closer and closer to your full Social Security benefit, which would come at probably 67 at this point. The other thing is, you mentioned that $70,000. I'd probably carve out at least 6 months worth of expenses. And so if you're saying your expenses right now are $5,000 a month, I'd probably take $30,000 of that and leave it in savings. And then the rest of that, you could either start systematically moving that into your 401k by increasing that percentage. And then if that depletes your income too much because you're putting a much larger percent into your 401k, well, then you'd slowly pull it out of that $70,000 every month to supplement. And in effect, you're just replacing your income with that money so that you get more going into the 401k. The other option would be contribute to a Roth IRA. But I'd probably connect with one of our certified Kingdom advisors to do some planning. So you've got a track that you're on. You'll get there. Let's just trust the Lord for the outcome. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
At FaithFi, we are on a mission
to educate, equip, and connect you and many others with the powerful financial answers found in God's Word. We're working to meet people right where they are through national radio programs, our app, website, and other resources. If you've benefited from this program, would you consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron? Check out all of the benefits of a FaithFi patron's membership at faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
This fall, believers from across America will gather in our nation's capital. We'll hear from government leaders, policy experts, and leading Christian voices, learning how we can engage in government at every level, from local school boards to state legislatures to Congress and even the White House, to win back the soul of our nation. Join with us for the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit, Believe and Engage, September 15th through 17th. Register now at PrayVoteStand.org.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. Two lines are open, 800-525-7000. Call right now. We'd love to hear from you, 800-525-7000. Let's head to Mississippi. Hi, Gloria. How can I assist you?
Yes. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. I was just trying to find out. I'm at the age of 68, and what is the full retirement to get my Social Security?
Okay. You would already be there. So your full retirement age is the age you have to reach to receive full retirement benefits from Social Security. If you wait beyond that, every month you wait beyond your full retirement age, and that, again, is based on your birthday, you're going to get, 1/12 of 8% every month, because you'll get 8% a year that will increase over your full retirement age benefit up to age 70. So you can actually get an additional of roughly 24% in your check if you waited to take it until age 70. But basically, in the United States, full retirement age, if you were born in 1955 or sooner, it would be 66 years and 2 months. And then it gradually increases all the way up to age 67 for those born after 1960. So it's somewhere between 66 years and 2 months and 67, depending upon the year of your birth.
Oh, okay. So I can still work until the age of 70. And if I wanted to draw my Social Security, say, starting next week, it wouldn't hurt anything.
That's correct. Once you reach full retirement age, and whatever that is for you, and somewhere between 66 years and 2 months and 67, depending on the year of your birth, once you reach what's called FRA, full retirement age, you can earn an unlimited amount of money by way of wages, and it will not affect your benefit. Now, going back to what I had shared earlier, as a separate issue, every month you wait beyond full retirement age up to age 70, they're going to increase your check by 1/12 of 8%. And so, that's a way to see that benefit go up by waiting up until as much as age 70. But that's a separate issue from your ability to work and earn wages. Again, once you reach full retirement age, you have no cap on what you can earn.
Thank you so much. That sounds okay. So great.
Okay, Gloria, thank you. Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for your call today. 800-525-7000. What a sweet lady. 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open today for your financial questions, whatever you're wrestling with today. Let's head to Michigan. Hi, Kathy. How can I assist you?
Oh.
Hi there. Go ahead. Kathy, you're on the air. You can go ahead. All right, let's see if we can get Kathy back on the line. We'll try one more time. Kathy in Michigan, are you with us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Okay, hi. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Good. I have a question. My daughter was just served divorce papers from her husband, and he wants her to take out a loan to pay off their different debts that they have. Like one is $20,000, another one is like $10,000, and just different loans, and pay off the cars and things like that. And and she would have to sign for that loan, but it would they would take out a loan against their house, but she would incur that because he doesn't want the house. And so it just doesn't seem to make sense to me that for her to sign to pay off all the debt that they owe, plus buy out, you know, buy the cars and stuff. What do you think?
I agree. Now, did you say they're going through a divorce right now?
Yeah. They just, he just served her papers last week.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not an attorney, so I would have her talk to her attorney, but that doesn't make sense to me at all. Is this happening in the state of Michigan?
Yes.
Okay. See, Michigan is not a community property state. So in a community property state, you know, they distribute property as close to a 50-50 split as possible. Whereas in Michigan, it's not. It divides it based on the theory of what's called equitable distribution. So there's still a question as to what is going to be given to her versus him for both assets and liabilities. And so given these, you know, what's about to come down in the way of the divorce decree with regard to their personal finances, now, in my opinion, is not the time to be taking on a loan to pay off debts when we don't even know who's going to be responsible for what. So I would have her immediately consult with her attorney before she does anything in the way of taking out a new loan.
Yeah, that's basically what I told her. But I just like, you know, I don't know. I've never called in before, and I thought, let me call these guys. They're wise.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. And she should definitely reach out right away. One of the most important reasons here is that, you know, a lender is not going to approve a loan during a divorce. Because they don't know what the final divorce settlement is going to be, what child support or alimony will be there, how that will affect the borrower's debt to income ratio. So an easy way for her to respond to her current husband is to say, listen, we're not even going to be able to get a loan. And even if she could, it's not wise. So I would say, you know, contact her attorney. I suspect, and she needs to find out, her attorney is going to say, absolutely not. Tell him, you know, once this is all settled, then we figure out, you know, who's going to be responsible for what. Then each of you, she and her husband, can then make decisions as to how they want to proceed with regard to the management of assets and the repayment of debts and so forth.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right, Kathy. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. We appreciate your call today. Two lines are open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. To Texas we go. Hi, Nancy. How can I assist you?
Hi, Rob. Oh, gosh. I have some questions regarding my Timothy Plan asset allocations. And I have my statement right here in front of me. So whatever questions you might have, I can answer them.
Great. What is the main issue that you're wondering about?
Well, I'm wondering if I should change them to income earning instead of what they are. Now, the question is, what are they? They're just sitting there, the allocations that they have, and then they're just sitting there not doing anything for me. And I'm not getting anything off of them. They're just doing what they do in the market. So.
Got it. Yeah, very good. And what is your age?
73.
Okay. And do you know what the breakdown is of stocks versus bonds in those Timothy Plan funds?
I have the asset allocations listed here. But as far as bonds are concerned, I don't see anything that says anything about bonds.
Okay. What's the allocation you're looking at there?
Oh, okay. It's like 7.58% common value fund, 9.8%.
All right, let's do this. I've got to take a break. You and I off the air, we'll just kind of talk through what your current breakdown is. And then when we come back, I'll give you my thoughts on kind of where we go from here. All the lines are full. A lot of additional questions coming your way on Faith and Finance. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The LGBT movement isn't new. Since 1968, it's been making its way into the Christian church. And now we're seeing parts of the church starting to affirm the quote-unquote gay Christian lifestyle. How did we get here? In the book Dangerous Affirmation, author M.D. Perkins sheds light on how Christians are being lured away from God's truth and calls us to faithfulness to God's design. You can get the ebook version of Dangerous Affirmation today at resources.afa.net.
You know, Alex, one of my favorite things about Share-a-thon are the listeners' phone calls.
Yeah, exactly.
AFR listener stories encourage us and other listeners.
AFR has been a blessing to my husband and I.
Call 877-876-8893 and tell us your story. That's 877-876-8893.
I listen to y'all all day. Y'all been a big help.
877-876-8893.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
I'm grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. All the lines are full, so sit back and enjoy. We're going to cover a lot of ground here in our final segment. We'll get to as many calls as we can. Before the break, we were talking to Nancy. She's got some funds with Timothy Plan, which we love, a great faith-based investing fund family. I know Dan Celia, the former host from American Family Radio, was a big fan of Timothy, and I can understand why. I know those folks well and do a great job. She put her funds there. She's got about, it looks like, well over $100,000 there, and she's 73 and just wondering, yeah, with a $167,000 portfolio, does she have the right allocation? And Nancy, you were sharing with me, from what you can make out, you can see about 20% in mid-cap and small-cap value, plus their defensive strategy, and then conservative growth. It sounds like most of the stock allocation that you're seeing is on the more conservative end, and I can understand why at 73. And then you can see about 20% between their fixed income and government. We're wondering where the other 60% is. So we just need, it's of course there. We just got to figure out kind of how the allocation breaks down. So I would reach back out to them just at a high level. You know, what I would say, I mean, apart from some meaningful planning about your needs and risk tolerance and so forth, you know, typically what I would say is that somebody at 70 years old, we would have about up to 40% in the stock portion and probably 60% in the bond portion, the fixed income portion. Bonds are going to start doing well here as interest rates come down next year. And so that will give you a good base plus income that you could either allow to be reinvested or take out. And then the 40% that's in the stock equity portion, which is going to be mixed among those various classifications you mentioned, the value, common value, mid-cap value, defensive strategy, conservative growth, that the total of all of those, I would say you typically want about up to 40% there. That's going to provide the growth component that will, you know, allow you to continue to increase your purchasing power and offset the effects of inflation. So I would just check in with them and say, you know, I think I'm looking for probably a 60-40 mix, 60% fixed income, 40% stocks. Is that what I have now? And if not, can you help me reposition in that way? And they can help you. The other option would be to connect with a certified Kingdom advisor who can then take responsibility for this and use the faith-based investing fund families like Timothy Plan, and there's some other great ones like Crossmark and Eventide and One Ascent and Lightpoint Portfolios. I mean, you know, there are now more faith-based investing world-class options than ever today. You know, even, you know, just in the last 3 years, 55 new investment products have come onto the market that are specifically faith-based investments. Many of those weren't, you know, around when Dan was here on this program. So you could stay just purely with Timothy and have them reallocate you toward maybe a 60-40 if you feel like that fits your goals, or you could hire an advisor who would essentially take responsibility for managing this using a faith-based approach. Does that make sense?
Oh, it sure does, and I've already chosen my CKA.
Okay, good. Yeah, well, just make sure that that CKA does faith-based investing. That not all of them do. Many of them do. And we're actually going to create a refinement in our search where you can select only those that do faith-based investing if that's what you're looking for. And give this portfolio to that person, and they can help you reposition it to make sure that it's exactly what you need. We appreciate your call today, though, Nancy. Does that cover it?
Oh, it does so wonderfully. Thank you so much, Rob. I love you.
All right. Love you, too. We appreciate your call today. To Roel, we're going to stay in Texas. How can I help you?
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call. I have a quick question. I have a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old, and I'm interested in investing for them, but I don't know how to go about it, whether to give them each $5,000 and for them to invest it in their name. I don't know if that's possible, or do I invest $5,000 each for them in an investment in the stock market?
Yeah. Well, you can go either way. Let's talk through it, Roel. First of all, I love this idea that you'd begin now while they're under your roof, training them and how to handle money, starting with this importance of working diligently, that God created us to be workers and that we need to work as unto the Lord with excellence, that we should be savers, that we should be givers, the dangers of debt, the importance of living within your means and developing a spending plan. And then to your point, the importance of compound growth and savings and investments. So this is a great time between the ages of 15 and 18 to get them started on investing. In terms of how to go about that, I think you've got a couple of options. The first is deciding on the account type. So do you want to control these funds, letting them pick the investments, but you decide when they get access to the money, depending on their maturity spiritually and financially? Or do you want it in a custodial account, which they could still pick the investments, but at the age of majority, probably 18 in most states, they automatically get the funds. So if they want to take the money out and buy a sports car, they can. What type of account are you looking for?
Well, I'm looking for something where it's going to be basically governed until, you know, they get into a older part of their life, maybe 40, 50 years. I wouldn't want to have them bound to that, but
well, the question you've got to decide is, do you either it's in a custodial account where they get it at 18 and they get to use it if they want to and you can't say anything about it, or whether it's in your name and you decide when it gets transferred over to them to be used for their own purposes?
I guess that sounds better, that it would be in my name. But okay. My only question would be, what would be the tax liability for me as far as doing that?
Yeah, unless you put it in a Roth IRA, which you could in their, and this would be, that would actually be in their name, but they wouldn't be able to take it out, and ideally, I mean, they could actually once they get to the age of majority. But essentially, if you put it in your name in a taxable account, you're going to be responsible for the taxes. So every time a stock is sold and there's a profit, you're either going to have a long-term or a short-term capital gain, and that's going to fall on you because it's your asset until you make a gift to them.
Oh, I get that. So really, essentially, it's mine with the with the promise of it being theirs if I do it that way.
Yeah, the way I advise folks to do this is open a separate account with like Fidelity or Schwab, one for each child that would be in your name or if you're married and you're in your wife's name, but you've earmarked it for the child and you know it's theirs. They're maybe even picking the investments, but it's in your name, which means you're responsible for the taxes. Now, with regard to the investment strategy, I think you've got two options here. Normally, we'd want to be, you know, diversified with a $3,000 or $5,000 portfolio, and so we'd pick a high quality mutual fund that has good performance, and you know the objective, and has good management, and you know, maybe is a faith based investing fund if that's a part of your conviction, because you'd be really broadly diversified. But it's not as exciting, especially for a young for a student who's just learning investing. Often, what they want to do is be able to pick companies that they know so that they know, oh, I'm an owner of Coca-Cola and I drink Coca-Cola, or, you know, whatever the company is that they're familiar with, they're buying it because they're interested in it. Maybe they use it and they want to track it and follow the quarterly numbers. And you can teach them how to, you know, check on the news coming out from the company and the quarterly earnings and all that kind of stuff. So even though you're violating the principle of diversification, I'm okay with it for a child, a student, because you're teaching them what investing is like. And so what I would do is probably say, listen, I'm going to give you $3,000. It's going into the account. I want you all to go decide on what stocks you want to buy. And you're going to, you know, you're going to buy fractional shares, because depending on how much you're putting in, you may not even be able to buy one share depending on what company it is. Let them pick the stocks. And then, you know, they have to, you know, watch those, and maybe every month or so you sit down and, you know, they're going to tell you how the company's doing and why the stock's up or down. And that's going to introduce them to investing in such a way that maybe they'll get interested in it and excited about it. The other approach, which is a more hands-off approach, is just to pick a mutual fund, you know, that would essentially have own hundreds of companies, and they would just follow it, but it wouldn't be, you know, as closely tied to the things that they're interested in. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Could I basically say, give them $5,000 each and, them invest, say, in a Timothy plan?
Absolutely. I love that option. Yeah. So that would be, you know, then you would want to introduce them to, okay, what is faith-based investing and how does it work? And they could go in and pull the Timothy Plan fund prospectus and see the top 10 holdings that they own. And they could learn about those companies. And, you know, that would be a great option. And you could do that directly through the Timothy Plan's website. So I think maybe the next step for you is to open those two accounts, both in your name, one for each child, decide how much you're going to put in, tell the kids what you're doing, and then have them go to the Timothy Plan website, research the funds, make the selections, and then have them pull this prospectus every quarter, see what the top holdings are, and maybe you can get them to research those companies.
So I wouldn't be able to put it in their name, like to where they go and do this, right? Because they're not old enough.
Well, you could give them access to your account, essentially, where it's still your ownership, which means you're responsible for the taxes and you control the money. But essentially, you could give them the login so they could go in and make the changes.
Okay. All right. Well, that pretty much answers it up. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Happy to do it. Hey, Mike, first time caller in Arkansas and Zachary in Texas. I apologize. We didn't get to your question, but we'd love to get you on tomorrow. So if you guys want to stay right there, Robert will pick up the line and we'll see if you can get scheduled to be first on Friday's broadcast. Mike and Zachary, stay right there. We'll get you on the line. Well, folks, we covered a lot of ground today. So thankful you were along with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. It's my absolute privilege to join you each day to encourage you, to provide hope, and to direct you back to godly wisdom, which is the only wisdom we want for the entirety of our lives, but certainly that includes this area of financial management. On behalf of my team today, Robert Sutherland providing research, Devin Patrick, our producer and engineer, and Robert Youngblood managing our phones today, I'm Rob West. Thanks for being along with us. Have a great rest of your day. May the Lord bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.